back. I was thinking a lot lately about how, I guess there's a lot of problems in Ireland at the moment, and I'm incredibly intelligent, so I'm going to sort them all out.
Good.
But then I thought about how incredibly lazy I am and realised that was never going to happen. So I wrote a poem in response to myself. I'm a good person. Am I a good person? I think mostly yes, I guess, and I leave the rest up to public consideration. For in the duration of long life, one must act awful at times, or at least in the eyes of another. Whether its full impact will ever be known or really shown, I could walk away from here and not be regret that there are those among you who consider me to be a massive dickhead. And you'd probably be right in your eyes. But I know it would hurt to unearth proof that I act in malice, callous and cruel, a tool of destruction or part-time corruption. So like the last urchin on a rocky outcrop, I cling to the story that I bring love to a stormy sea, that I'm above the cold sting of spray that lays way to every other thing. So if that's me, what are you? Because we all can't be architects of charity, can we? Or utopia would be this very city, and it would be easy to resolve every conflict that sinks us to our core and shore our certainty that humanity isn't built on negativity. But in reality, it comes down to apathy. For we see purity in people we hold in esteem, and it seems that the rest fall out of our collective mentality all too easily. So I think it's time that I address that kindness by convenience isn't true compassion. But how can I ration affection? Because now I want to take on a cause greater than I for the benefit of others. But I'm smothered by the wrongs I sense in every step, receive in every pulse, and believe in every breath. What do I really represent? And with regret, the threat of action sanctions the residual knowledge that I'm an individual. With potential sure, but fewer sure than I know how to channel true passion. So I plead ignorance as if in defiance of my inaction. And I treat those around me with compassion if that's truly a solution. An illusion of proving that I have a virtuous personality. But truly, do I?
Okay, so we just need to keep the poem short if possible, so we can try and get everyone else. So that was great. That was lovely. Thank you so much. Okay, next up we have Julie Aldrich.
I just need to explain, if you don't know what a wyvern is, it's a two-legged dragon. This is called poor relation. Pity the poor, unfortunate wyvern who, unlike his better-known cousin, the four-footed, sure-footed dragon, can neither speak nor breathe fire. The poor wyvern has to make do with just a single pair of wings, and his legs, limited to just two, constitute his meagre allocation, in stark contrast to a dragon's superior fourfold aggregation. To lend balance to his scaly legs, the wyvern's tail is arrow-tipped, a useful tool for cracking eggs, tailpiece and limbs in tripod formation. If his preferred location is the sea, a fishtail is his disambiguation. Citing climate change, some attribute the wyvern's glacial breath and icy size a root cause of his ostensible demise. Others point instead to natural selection. We may never know the answer to a question of how the common dragon outlived its poor relation.
Thank you, Julie. Next, we have Megan Cronin.
This could be the finest product of this poem. Oh, I can't speak. How am I going to say this poem? This could be the final product of this one, or it couldn't be. We just see. If I come back up during another time, it wasn't the end. So this is called Fishnets and Tooties. You said no one will take you seriously in fishnets and a tutu. My dear, have a seat because you're about to be schooled. No talking. This class is now in session. Before we begin, please, hang on. Wait a second. Can you change your clothes? They're not suitable for this lesson. Your low-cut V-neck, sir, is causing a distraction. What? This is discrimination! I hear you protest. Well, if you think you're the first, please stand up, be my guest. I can't take you seriously as an athlete, says the big lads in the nice rags who see you as a bag of meat. Maybe you should wear something a little more discreet. Well, maybe you should stop objectifying female athletes. How about judging their sporting ability and not what's hidden underneath? She's bringing tutus back and I'm living for it. I come from a sport where we're still not respected. People don't get it. We swapped our tutus and fishnets for an ounce of respect. We ditched our outfits and toned down the rude names in favour of a more palatable game. But our efforts were all in vain. No matter what we did, things remained the same. And you can try tell us we're weak, and you can try put out our flame, but these women are going to beat you at each and every game.
Yay. Thank you, Megan. Can we have Dean Brown, please?
Extremely short poem called Approach to an Egg. A boiled egg is a fresh beginning. And you tap the frangible, pale shell so delicately with the edge of your spoon, you could be a convict, careful not to wake your cellmate, while you test the walls for weak spots, brow glazed in response to a sun rising the other side.
Thank you, Dean. And next we have Jack Shortland.
Christmas tree lights. You know how we need to remember to switch off the Christmas tree lights in case of fire? Well, you won't believe this, but they used to have to snuff them out one at a time or blow them out. There were real candles on the Christmas tree, long thin ones stuck into candlesticks made of tin that had to be clipped onto the light branches. The slightest draft made the flames flicker and bend towards the delicate glass baubles, reflecting toy figurines made of wood, dangling on fragile bits of string. Under the tree were paper parcels made up with ribbon. On the very top, a fairy angel with flammable wings.
Thanks, Jack. Next we have Niamh Toomey.
When I visit you now, there's a code for the door. No smell of rollies, no garden you photograph with a disposable camera. But your arms, braille-veined and feeble, stretch out to me in welcome. Here, in God's waiting room, there's not much left to do. We walk to the day room and back. You're a salmon, I think, scales weighing heavier now. And I, the poet, trawl natal springs upriver, dig tears along the riverbank, wanting to taste you before you slip from my grasp, sinking to the riverbed, staring at the television. I bite my thumb, but all I taste is salt.
Next we have Mary O'Connell.
Paul Muldoon had a lovely tribute to John Montagu in Dublin and in Saturday in Cork, and I've revived a poem that I wrote about John. His mother came to visit him. I mean, she had him, and then he was kind of he was banished, I suppose you could say, to Ireland as a young lad. I think he was only about two or something. Anyway, he met her when he was about seven, and she was very sort of standoffish with him, and he wanted, obviously, to have a rapport with his mother, and that didn't really happen. So this is kind of based around that. It's called Crucible. To woo her is his plan. Get her to agree to bring him back with her to the city of his birth. His mother walks away, decides to steal her heart in case it grows too fond. Says it's best to stay with the pair of maiden aunts she'd asked to take him in. Returning to New York, she leaves him where he is. Rejection by the mother could have blocked all blossoming, yet in John Montague it was the dam burst that unleashed a headlong flow. Words dredged from the shadow well were transmuted to poetry by the alchemy of loss. To speak was full of pitfalls, his knotting tongue snagged over consonants, stumbled when he went to read a poem aloud. He persisted, continuing to navigate the sounds that came gifted by the muse. A renowned and much loved poet, magus of the image and the word, cresting the vicissitudes thrown in his way by fate, he survived what had occurred.
Thank you, Mary. Next we have Charles Clark.
Headmaster, I taught. This time, he has to apologize. He did. And if you blinked, you missed it. There was ice on the ground outside.
Thank you, Charles. Next, we have Hayley Hughes.
This one about a month ago, and it didn't make the cut for my portfolio that is due on Friday. So I'm going to read it again. This is called Pink Buds. We drink the same water, the flower on my windowsill and me. Irish spring water dampens the leaves, a downy bed of soil. Both of us flip toward radiance. Stems coax open, pinched pink buds, both of us too green and vulnerable.
Thank you, Hayley. Next we have Patricia Walsh.
I just call a missing person. Clean as a guitar, flourish otherwise. Bussing for a better world domination, asking for a little but company and drink. Not much persuading needed, going without saying, a ghost army of friends still moving forward. These neutral shoes make up supreme attire, once early centuries of the best mind, slinking in on the priest's apiary, this undocumented hanger on leaguer still, listening no more to private tune. Once incarcerated, forgotten forever, you claw your way to your chosen path. Are we really different? Let me count the ways. Witches and the knights scavenge for drink. This historic case is not yours anymore. We're only at peace with a number, like a monkey. Dispense at will into the laundry basket. An impotent scar stolen on the cruelty of strangers. Just as you are, defining a purpose, sanctuary of your house no longer relevant. The Cryptic Association, consciously coupling new histories terrorized guilty parties. Enduring love not absent anymore. Potential past and presents merged together. A scripted burn of pages well cherished. Thank you.
Thanks, Patricia. Next up, we have Stanley Knott, accompanied by Eileen Healy.
This is a poem written imagining what might be going through the head of a man getting up on the morning of the Easter Rising and going to fight for his country. I was talking to somebody about it today and they said it would make everybody who was Irish hate the English more. It'll make the English hate themselves. I don't like that idea because it wasn't written from that perspective. But you can make what you want of it. Anyway, it's called Restless Farewell. Goodbye, my darling sleep. Goodbye, my little son. I'm off to Dublin in the green of Ireland, my Ireland. I know, my love, this is the day a lament for the lost and the right of man will breathe from Clare to here. I know, my love, this is the day the Dingle A, the Derry Air and Dingle Bay will hear the call of bold Fenian men, James Larkin, Portrait Pierce, and that the answer from sweet Tralee to Skibbereen will be wrapped the green flag around me, boys, and we shall overcome. So blow ye winds a dream of liberty, blow ye winds a Celtic symphony, and over Ireland all let the people sing. Rebellion, freedom, go home, you British soldiers, you'll never beat the Irish. And blow ye winds of providence to protect, so at our journey's end, when the boys come rolling home, all the women of Ireland see a soldier return, not a bunch of red roses on holy ground and bagpipe music at a gravestone marked, here lies a soldier. And blow ye winds of providence to protect, so at our journey's end, every soldier's son can hug once more the old man and know once more love's old sweet song. And blow ye winds of providence for the working man in Belfast and the boys of Fairhill who, remembering the flight of the earls, Robert Emmet and the great hunger will win freedom from the big, strong man. I know, my love, in Belfast and Botany Bay, Irish eyes are smiling, for this is the day, the foggy dew in the valley of Knockanore, the gay Galty Mountains sings a song for Ireland, my Ireland. I know, my love, this is the day that Waterford boys and Galway girls were on the green of Ireland, my Ireland, march to freedom. Yes, my darling asleep. Yes, my little son. This is the day. So goodbye, Irene. Goodbye, lovely John. I am off to Dublin, the green of Ireland, with James Connolly and Michael Collins, to say farewell to an island unfree.
Thank you. Next up we have Ed.
So I work in a betting shop and I see a lot of interesting characters everywhere, absolutely everywhere. So this poem's called Mental Destruction. Just like a piercing pen to paper, you're as light as a feather. Times have passed and not been gentle. Oh, you should have settled for a sexy one and a short son. And now you sleep at home with your mum.
Thank you, Ed. Next up we have Philip Spillane.
for Shaman Seamus and Druid Damien visit the Urbanscape. The Urbanscape is a flowery word for a city. It's about what happens there, but I had no reason for them to visit the Urbanscape. So they were doing their Christmas shopping. So make it festive. I'll go right into it. Once, Shaman Seamus and Druid Damien visited the metropolis of the Titan skyscraper, Sky Stealers, to see what was it all about, with its iron buffalo stampeding on the cooled graphite steeps, where tribal men and women, dressed as ants, march braided between their train tracks, to a traditional tribal dance of traffic lights and ambulance song. It goes on all night and daylight, and one of the hives of passing parties, it got a bit too much for one of our out-of-time travelers. Till Shaman Seamus misplaced his colleague, the Druid Damien, on the colossal crossroads, pulling his woolen hides tight as the sky darkened into an empty night of a constant twilight. The ants, dressed up as ghosts, but moved wildly and warlike chesters. It made Shaman Seamus, for the first time in his life, afraid. It began to rain tears. His rainbow letters dampened with cold. It made him more hollow inside. He bunkered down under an ash tree and he was shivering. So alone, feeling feeble and guilty so. Till a voice said, above, Shaman Seamus, is that you? He looked up and saw the Bandur, Bridget, and the sorceress, Saoirse, braided blonde hair going all down her back. Come, rebellion aside, you're right. You're all right. Not long after, Shaman Seamus found himself among a feast of all different types of people. Not too different from himself, but all different, all the same. There was the hermit, Hugh, the nymph, Niamh, the wizard, William, the Wicca, Fionnuala, the alchemist, Angus, and of course, Druid Damien, serving fruits and wines to everyone, listening to poems and song from the bard, Beveen. Seamus found where he belonged, as he remembered and learned. If you ever come to the big place, like an urbanscape, you could find parts that you might make you feel lost, but also parts that might make you feel found. Found with friends. Yeah. Very good.
Thank you, Fred. Next we have Ray Hanrahan.
Okay, this is a little poem about birds. I like to watch stairs swoop in squadrons and chatter like phones gone mad with communication. I like to watch gulls, their white feathers belying their filthy habits as they fly carefree. I like to watch crows as they watch me deciding when to pounce and get the morsel off the street.
Thank you, Ray. Next, our five-word champion, Shauna Leelich.
The ice caps are melting. It's snowing in Melbourne. The penguins are getting a tan. There's disassociation in a takeaway nation, and the X Factor still has an audience. Bring back the magic, the spells, the tarot, the worship of nature in fear of Earth's karma. Dead dancing, darkness, shadow, marionettes of mysterious beings, Gaia, Wiccan, energy, blackout, feminist, ink and mummy princesses, no Elysian sleek ideals here, pal. No sorry. You can't buy a cauldron in IKEA and a reusable coffee cup will not solve global warming. Gives a shot of that old energy, raw, visceral alchemy, October moon voodoo, conjuring, not contouring spirits into life. Dread werewolves and vampires, not deposits for first-time buyers. Quell the never-ending row about tax brackets. Send the corporate to the incorporeal, afflict all the influencers, resurrect the necromancers, to raise dark mambo divas, stir up spirits on a Friday night, fling bodies in forfeit to poltergeists, the unexplainable underworld, pinch teenagers glued to their phones, shake them up and rattle their bones, and tell them stop Snapchatting each other from across the same room. It's boring. Whip out the Ouija board and see who's trending. No, no, click, click, scroll, scroll, eye of newt, tongue of toad, invoke she-devils, Bruhera bitches, the Snow White witches, not glorified yoga teachers charging mandatory donations for spiritual meditations, internet incantations with crystal hair accessories, crystal accessories, glossy hair extensions, grocery store incense, and not a black cat in sight. Give me vampires, maenads, banshees, talismans, fairies, patience and belief that people still aren't recycling. Astral projections, New Orleans jazz saxophones, telekinetic temporal folds, psychics contacting the spirit world, nights spent supernatural, not scrolling through Instagram, like a sugar junkie's candy rush, dashing tinfoil fashion sites. I'll do rituals to protect the earth from our destroyance. I have insomnia in the witching hour. I light candles for juju power. I need a belief in something higher than me, a connection not charged by USB. I'll drum and dance, offer a vegan sacrifice, scatter Santarian stones across my Scandinavian wooden floor, and say a prayer for when the tide comes in. Woo!
Benjamin Burns.
Steam rises in spirals off the Americano I just ordered. A manic saxophonist blows hot spittle into my ear. No more than a wisp, my spirit drifts out across the lee. A seagull flies straight through me. I howl with laughter. Back in the cafe, my physical body sips at the steaming coffee. Grey clouds and a threatening stillness.
Thank you, Ben. Next we have Max Green.
This evening. So the story of my poor old guitar Jerry that I got when I was 12. That's now lying neglected the corner since then. I'll give up me so much for being such a dud. And I bought this new one. And I just took a look at the guitar the other day in the door chat. So there's a lot of this. It gave up to me.
You don't play me anymore.
Have you got that
trouble to say? Hey, right. It's very old, isn't it? You don't play me anymore. I'm your old guitar now. Leave me lying on the floor of the music room floor. Get a song for you now. So pick me up now. I was your friend when you're all on your own. No other voice at the end of the phone. The dreams that you lost, neglected and forlorn, got sound for you now. Resonate for me now. Your heartbeat through me now. You don't play me anymore. I'm your old guitar now. All the hard knocks that you bore, etched in my veneer forevermore.
Jesus, I'm losing my face, you know. I thought for you now, so pick me up now. I was your friend when you're all on your own. Took up the night, soaked up the tears, took the weight of your chest, shared in the pain that the squeeze of your breast resonated for me. Your heartbeat drew me. I don't play you anymore, cause your strings are broken. Guitar store, but the doors are closing now. That song will say now, this song for you now. Get you now, and I'll get you a jack. Get you re-strung, I'll get you revamped. Get you up now, got a song for you now. You don't play me anymore, but your hands will trace me. Took those feelings through my spine, felt your hands embrace me, wrapped around my neck. I took your weight, I took that weight. And I was your friend when you're all on your own. When there's no other voice at the end of the phone. All those dreams that you lost, neglected and forlorn. It's hard for you now, pick me up now. Let's get you a pickup.
Mags, for anyone who wants to join People Against Abusive Guitars. So we have to cut off with our next poet, unfortunately. Jacqueline Curtin, is she here? Jacqueline Curtin. Our last poet for the year.
This poem was inspired by Elliot Smith's song Angels, and it'll be of interest to some people. It's called Angels/Angels. Angels, I pray to thee, but Angels rings more true. I can make you satisfied in everything you do. Stuck between stations on the radio, hold steady, let me play on you.
And thank you everyone who contributed tonight. Sorry to the few people we couldn't get on there. Could we please have one huge round of applause for our wonderful guest, Leanne Thompson?